Jim Lansdale, Bobby Hamilton with us. We're going to get into their Killing Bigfoot pilot program and get your take on that and some calls, too, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We've got Jim Lansdale, Bobby Hamilton. They are with the Gulf Coast Bigfoot Research Organization. And let's talk, Jim, if we can, and Bobby then. Tell me about the evolution of the television show. How did that all come about? Let's go with you, Jim.
Okay. Peter got with us about doing this pilot or doing this program, and it originated that. And I think it's been in the stew for a long time. I think I remember doing something about this 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And it finally came, and that's what we did with this pilot. Peter's an excellent producer, I can tell you this. I've never worked with anybody. I've done this before. I've never worked with anybody this professional. And the cameraman, his crew, was just really great to work with. And by the way, I need to put a shameless plug in. It's on OLN the 29th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then, obviously, it's Destination America. The 24th of this month at 8 p.m. Central Standard.
That's right. OLN is in Canada, right?
That's correct.
Any surprises?
You bet. Yeah, I think there'll be some surprises there. What it'll do, it's a completely different look of Bigfoot, what you've seen on television. It's not anything like anybody's ever shown before. It's completely different. It gives you some kind of insight of how the GCBRO does conduct hunts. It's exciting, it is, to be on one of our hunts, to be in an area of activity. It's always exciting because we're not going to hunt in areas that aren't real active. So, I think everybody would really enjoy this. I mean, there's more to it than what you think of just
sure.
Killing a Bigfoot. You need to watch the program, and then you'll get a good understanding of what we do.
I'm going to play a sound effect. We've had it for years. Some people think that it sounds like a Bigfoot somewhere out in the woods. I don't know what it is, Jim and Bobby. Let's see what you think. Here we go. Bobby, what do you think that is? What's that sound like to you?
I've never personally heard that particular sound. I've heard them make several different sounds, and I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, it doesn't sound like any other animal that I've ever heard, so I think it's a possibility.
Jim, your take?
I think... I've never heard that either, George, but what I want to know is why would that creature just keep screaming over and over and over and over?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me. I've been doing this a long, long time, and I've never heard anything like that, especially on a continuous basis. Now, I've heard them scream, yes, and I've had them make the peacock sound and the chimp sound, just like a bunch of chimps, but I've never heard that one.
Do they smell when you're up close to them?
No.
They do not have it.
They do not.
That's unusual.
They smell like, and they do admit a stench, and if they smell like that all the time, I could chase you down just by smelling you.
Yeah.
But they do admit a stench, and it's a horrible stench.
What about putting night cameras, high technology cameras, you know, and just seeing if you could record one or two come by?
Well, we have that now.
Do you? You're doing that.
Yeah, and Bobby and I have been doing this forever. I think the first camera traps we had set up, we've been using, game cameras for a long time. They just now, I'd say just now, but in the last few years, the technology where they have the IR camera, where there's not a flash, but before the old flash cameras, it looked like a lightning strike going off in the woods at night because, you know, the flash. But we've used an IR and had a 960 nanometers, I believe, where it's completely invisible. But just no luck.
Nothing.
I mean, we haven't had any luck with that.
Well, you have other animals have you captured on video, like deer or bear or something?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. What's really amazing, George, is this area that I hunt in here is when these creatures, right now my son and I will get probably anywhere from 240 to 300 pictures at each stand that we hunt every other day. When these creatures move in, we may get 3 or 4 pictures of deer every week. So I think they know when they come back in.
They sure do. Let's take some calls for both of you. Let's go to Bob in Chicago to get things going. Bob, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thanks, George. Great show. I have a two-part question
sure.
for your guests, Jim and Bob.
First of all, why hasn't someone taken a shot at one of these creatures? You say they keep coming back, stealing animals. And the second part is, have you heard the story about the gentleman who says that he killed two or three Bigfoot, buried them, and Art Bell supposedly knows where they're buried? And your take on those two questions.
Okay.
Okay, well, the first thing that I know about on the Art Bell show, that guy, is that's fabrication. He just made that up. And Art Bell went along with it, and now the guy's from Texas over here, and he hasn't done anything but talk. As far as these people shooting at these animals, they would shoot at them if they could find them and catch them out there doing it. But you have to understand, and even in the program, it'll tell you that these creatures will sit in areas there around these homes and watch these people go in and out of their homes, so they know when they're there and they know when they're gone. And whether they're getting the chickens or whatever when the people are gone, I don't know. All I know is that they call me and tell me, or text me and tell me, that some of these creatures, some of their chickens are gone. But they would shoot at them if they had a shot. They sure would.
Are they primarily nocturnal?
No. We hear the nocturnal. The reason why they're nocturnal is because of the, of course, now, because the bow season is open, is that people are in the woods, so they're going to be more nocturnal, okay? In the summertime, they're nocturnal because of the heat. But during deer season and during the hunting season, they're going to be nocturnal because of people being in the woods.
Do they have that pointed head that we hear so much about?
Some of the males do, and some of them don't. Females don't, but the males do.
Well, next up, we go to Jeff, truck driving in Ohio. Jeff, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Really love your show. It's the first time I've been able to call in, but
oh, great.
I've seen you for years.
Thank you, Jeff. You ever see anything out there?
No, never seen a Bigfoot, but seen a lot of weird drivers.
Yeah, I bet.
I wanted to ask Jim to expand on his experience with the Bigfoot that taunted him or bluffed him. I mean, was it in the daytime or nighttime? And, what did he do? And he said he got pretty close. And, what happened at the end? Did he run away or what happened?
Well, this particular Bigfoot, he and I had a run-in about a year before this particular bluff happened. And I knew Reed came up out of the west bottom, and he was screaming and breaking branches and raising sand. And he got to the edge of this little field where my son's feeder was, and he stopped. And I shined his eyes with my spotlight. He had two huge green eyes, and I knew right where he was standing there. I just know this area well. So I told my son, he was with me, and this is my oldest son. I said, I'm going to walk over there to it. I want to see what this is. It was curiosity was killing the cat, and that's what I was going to go. I was wanting to go get a look at it. So I got within feet of it, and it ran off, and I hear it run and breaking stuff for a quarter to 3/8 of a mile. Well, about a year later, there's a lane that I'd always park on because that's where I'd found the tracks, and I could listen. I could hear him call. And he would come up to me on occasion, okay? And this one particular night is when he bluffed me. He came, and you could hear him breaking stuff, and I could hear him breathing real deep and kind of a growl in his breath. When he got with about 15, maybe 20 feet from me in this thicket, it kind of spooked me, and I had my shotgun, and I jacked around in it, and it's a pump shotgun. And everybody knows that a pump shotgun, that's a universal language, and they understand that as any other animal. And as soon as I pumped that round in it, and I didn't shoot, I didn't have any intention of shooting because I didn't know what it was or how big it was or where it was, but it stopped in its tracks. But, this thing would follow me around. I would stoop down in front of my truck and where it couldn't see me, and it would walk around where it could look at me. And we'd done that many, many times.
It hunted you?
Pardon me?
Did it hunt you?
Oh, yeah, it would hunt me. I'd feed down there. I had a bunch of feeders up, and so I'd feed. I was self-employed, and I had plenty of time, and I would feed my feeders. Well, they would follow me, and I'd see glimpses of them every now and then. You know, they wouldn't just come right out and say, here I am. I mean, there was one bottom down there that I would go to on the west side, and I'd tell people, I don't know how many people would see this one cross, and he was probably a 7.5 footer, and I'd tell him, I said, you watch down this lane, and about a 200 yards. And I said, sometimes he'll cross. And I'd be in feeding, and I'd hear these people, did you see it? Did you see it? And they would actually see a Bigfoot. And it would be the first one they'd ever seen. And
What'd you think of the Patterson-Gimlin film from 67?
It's authentic.
You do believe so?
I know for a fact.
Tell me more.
There's no way that anybody could make a costume like that where you could actually see the crack of the butt on an animal. There's no way.
Well, you're right about that.
And
do they look that
the
way?
The way that it walks.
I mean, based on what you've seen, does the creature look like that?
No. Honestly, you have to understand, that is a real large creature. I mean, it's barrel-chested, and it's just, you know, kind of a huge. And ours aren't that big. Ours are more or less like the bodybuilder type, you know.
Yeah.
Square shoulders and narrow waist. The females are built just sort of like a female, you know. They've got the narrow shoulders and... I mean, you could tell the difference. It's simple to tell the difference in the female and the male.
But you do believe it's real?
I know it's real. That one was. That's no doubt. Patty was real.
Some people say they're dimensional or they're extraterrestrial. I think they're more land-based, Earth-type creatures. What do you think?
No, that's exactly what I think. I mean, I don't think there's any terrestrial to it, you know. I think, you know... George, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been in the woods night and day forever and ever.
It's a long time.
And I have never seen a UFO. I'm sorry to report that, but I have never seen one, you know? And I've seen a bunch of these creatures, but I've never seen one crawl out of a UFO.
Have you slept in the woods, and were you ever scared?
No, I was spooked a couple of times, but I was never really what you'd call scared.
I mean, no telling what would creep up on you.
Well, you know... The one you heard wasn't the one that was trying to get close anyway. The one you didn't hear that's trying to sneak up on you.
Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Jeff's with us, east of the Rockies. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Jeff.
That's great. Listen, you say that you've had a number of run-ins with these creatures. You admit that it's a highly intelligent creature. And I really find it reprehensible that you would want to go and just murder one just to prove that it exists. If you can simply hit it with a tranquilizer dart with a heavy dose and a tracker that you can follow it into the woods or wherever it disappears to, just to prove that it exists. Personally, I don't think that's research. I find it murder. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Okay. You two knew you would get a call like that. Go ahead.
Sure, but, you know, here's the way I think of it, too. That's his opinion. And, you know, everybody has their choice. They can do whatever they'd like. And however he feels, that's his opinion. And that's fine by me. I mean, I know what we're doing, and I know why we're doing it. We can tranquilize, and you never will find him. Even if you put a GPS kind of tracker on it, you never would find him. I mean, these people don't realize how quick, how fast these creatures are.
If you saw the creature in the woods, not coming at you, but just kind of limbering around out there, would you take a shot at it initially?
No.
You would not.
Not unless it was an aggressive creature.
So in theory, it could just walk away and you'd never see it again, and then there goes your proof.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, George, people don't realize how many shots we've turned down because it was the wrong creature. I mean, we've turned down, our hunters have turned down shots because it wasn't what we wanted. When we hunt now, we're hunting a nuisance animal. We're hunting a large male. And he comes around these homes. So when he's there.
I don't want to get too graphic, but, I mean, can you obviously see the difference between a female Bigfoot and a male, even with all that
sure.
hair? You can.
For sure.
Okay. So they're almost human-like.
It's called biology. I think you can...
Did you ever see a cute Bigfoot?
Yeah, you can. And here's the thing about it is, if they're walking away from you, you can tell by the build. I mean, because the female is going to be more narrow-shouldered than the male is going to be a wider-shouldered type of creature. And when they're young, you can't tell.
Let's go to April in Colorado, west of the Rockies. April, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I just have a question.
Sure.
I've literally seen one back in August of this year, believe it or not. I drive semi. We load limestone, and we load in a little remote place in northern Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming up over a hill, and it was hunched down, and I thought it was a bear. And I thought, oh, cool, I'm going to see a bear. And it stood up, and like I said, I drive semi. And it was probably, its shoulders are the same height as my door. You know, the first, it was like a reddish hair color, and you could see all the muscles in his arms. But the first thing I did when I got home, I called the Colorado, Northern Colorado, Bigfoot Association. They came up, they found footprints, and they said it was probably around 8.5 feet tall to 9, and probably weighed about 800-900 pounds. They said it was probably a male because of the color and age. But I asked them, I said, because my first thing, I almost puked. I was so scared. I was like, But they said they're not aggressive. They said they've been really close to them. They've never been aggressive. And the one I've seen really didn't want anything to do with me. It didn't really even acknowledge I was even there. And I just wondered, what's the difference between, like, Colorado Bigfoot and their Bigfoot, to where they're so aggressive and ours aren't? Because ours are, well, the one I've seen, it looks human. There's no way you could... That would even look like a animal, like a monkey or anything like that. It walked like a man. It had biceps like a man. And it had long legs, and it looked human to me. And I don't understand why there's such a huge difference between north, like Colorado and the South.
All right, Bobby, why don't you take that?
I can take that. Well, what you're dealing with is a creature that you've seen that you didn't feel threatened by, and you're talking to somebody who's never had any aggressive encounters or they researched anybody's home, so they've had nuisance animals. These things are not just only aggressive in the South. I used to be in contact with a man up out of Washington State, and he told me, he said, don't believe what everybody tells you. And we have the same issues up here that you have down there. We have 3, 4, or 5-foot creatures up here. We have aggressive encounters up here. You just don't hear about it because up here, this is a big tourist thing with the Bigfoot, and they don't want all the aggressive, news to get out. So you don't hear about it from up here, whereas you hear about it down south. And, all the things these creatures are doing is the same thing. I mean, everything about them is the same, and their actions and whatnot. But, yes, this thing will walk upright. It has legs. Where it walks similar to a man, its wings, its arm similar to a man, its body looks similar to a man. But make no mistake about it, this is not a human at all. This is an animal.
Are there different breeds with humans? You have Asians, you have people who are black, you have people who are Caucasian. Do you get that with the Bigfoot?
Well, I mean it's. We got to bring one in, and then if for that to be determined, you have to bring one in from somewhere else or whatnot. We got Bigfoot here, then you got the Yeti over in the Himalayas.
That's right.
But yeah, there's some differences there. But as far as like a race or whatever, that I would have no idea.
Okay, we're going to come back with both of you and take some more phone calls as we talk about killing Bigfoot. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we're going to continue with your phone calls with our two guests, Jim Lansdale, Bobby Hamilton, as we talk about Bigfoot, incredible stories. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Jim Lansdale, Bobby Hamilton with us. Jim, what kind of folks are in the organization? I mean, I ran the trailer earlier, former law enforcement, military, all kinds of people?
Oh, sure. I mean, we've from all sorts of backgrounds. It's people that are just like-minded, like Bobby and me, that believe in discovery. And the only way we're going to have discovery is with a corpse. And, we have law enforcement in there. My son is one of our hunters, and he's a geologist. We have several people that a machinist, that's also a gunsmith. It's just... Everybody's like that. It's just kind of like mine. Everybody comes from some type of different background, but we're all like-minded.
And Bobby, are you all generally woods folks? I mean, you love going out in the wilderness?
Oh, absolutely. We've all been raised in the woods, hunting and fishing. And, we all, though come from varied backgrounds, we've all spent the biggest part of our life in the woods, doing... what we do, we hunt, we fish, we camp, we take our kids in the woods, we're just all around woodsmen.
Are you amazed that we really haven't had a captured Bigfoot at this point?
No, I'm not amazed. These creatures, that's what people say, I want to try to catch one. Well, if you could build a trap and tell me how to lure him in there, I'd be happy to catch one for you, but I just don't see how it's going to be done. These creatures, that the intelligence level of them, they, you just don't fool them. They notice that something's not right. As Jim said one time, the woods is like their living room. If you put Shaquille O'Neal's shoe in the middle of your living room, you're going to notice it. You're not going to just walk around it. You're going to notice it. Well, anytime you do something different in the woods, try to put something out there, these creatures, they pick up on it because that's their living room. And they'll go around it. And if it's a big obstruction, then they'll just avoid that area altogether. Hmm. So, I mean, it's no surprise to me at all.
Do you think they bury the dead? They're dead?
I think that it's possible that they do bury them, and it's also possible, and I have heard that, from another person that there was just research that, that they possibly eat these things. They eat their dead, so.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild to think about that, but you are dealing with a wild animal.
Well, some humans have done that too, haven't they?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Christian in Los Angeles, Wild Card Line. Christian, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, George. It's good to talk to you again.
I got
a question. I actually have a two-part question for your guests. One is, on my cell phone, I can go to YouTube, and I've watched a couple of videos of people who have actually gone out on their own, and they have actually recorded the sounds of these Sasquatches. This is, I think, primarily up in Oregon, this is up in Canada that they've done this. The thing is that some of the videos that they've done, one question I have is, do you believe that Sasquatch has a language? Because on some of these videos, it sounds like that there is some kind of a language being spoken. The second question I have concerning the author David Politis, who is a former law enforcement agent officer, he has written, as you know, George, several of those books concerning these very weird disappearances in national parks, and he said especially up in Yosemite, which is a big hot spot. When I first listened to David, I was kind of suspicious and like, well, that's weird. But then I began to kind of tie things in, and my gut feeling tells me that there probably isn't an aggressive form of Sasquatch out there doing this. And the thing is that what I wanted to say is, do you gentlemen feel that the law enforcement agencies with the National Park Service have by now figured out what's going on, and they're pretty much keeping a lid over it? Because if this were ever to come out, as you know, the tourist industry and the Park Service, I mean, that's their bread and butter.
It would plummet.
Some form of a cover-up. And take care. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Yeah, we talked earlier about the disappearances at the parks, and I think you, Jim, believe that could be a possibility.
Well, sure, George. I think that is a possibility. I told you just a month ago where this researcher went into this particular area there and was actually picked up and thrown into a tree by one of these creatures. And had he not had his gun, his weapon with him, no telling what would have happened to him. But sure, I think this is probably more common, especially in this particular area there. There's a lot of people that have come up missing without a trace. As far as the communication goes, this language, I'm not certain that it's a language or it's a communication, but I have it recorded, and I've heard it. And as a matter of fact, one of them that I've heard that I've got recorded is that you hear this sound, this speaking sound, I guess you could say it is, and then you hear a car on the road. So it's saying that there's a car coming. But yeah, I've heard it on several different occasions. I can't make any heads or tails out of it. It's just mumble jumble to me, a lot of gibberish.
Does it sound like vocalizing, though, as opposed to grunts?
Oh, yeah, it's not grunts. It's some type of communication now, but it's not grunts at all.
Wouldn't it be great if we were able to decipher it?
Oh, yeah, it would be fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
The first time I ever heard it, actually, I heard it at a distance, and I thought it was people walking down the creek. And then I said, well, it's probably some people down there hunting. Well, they didn't have any lights, and it was pitch black in that bottom. And they got up within, I would say, feet of me before they smelled. I used a coon urine as a scent killer, and they smelled that and backed off of me.
Hmm. What do you think they do in the dead of winter?
Pardon me?
What do they do in the dead of winter? I mean, do they hibernate? What are they still active?
that's when we have our most sightings, because all the foliage is gone. And
they can't hide.
Yeah, a lot of meat eaters, deer, possum, whatever they can catch, they'll eat.
Let's go to Aiden in Queens, New York, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Aiden. Go ahead.
George, hello. I had an experience.
What happened to
right
you?
In the center of Manhattan. Visited there because I was the convention photographer out of Miami. And I was talking with the owner, and he said, Aiden, I'd like you to shoot a picture for me. There's a person sitting mid ringside with two blonde women. And as I approached, I thought, oh, my God, this person is absolutely humongous. His eye sockets, nose, mouth, everything about him was just so huge. I hadn't thought about it until you listening to your show tonight. You probably remember Andre the Giant. He died some few
years
ago.
Yeah, he was the wrestler, wasn't he?
Yes, but he was absolutely, I was frightened.
But he was a human. He was a human being.
I know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Why shouldn't the Bigfoot be a human being also?
Well, let's ask you, Jim, and you, Bobby, as well. What do you believe that they're more animal than human, no doubt, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think anything that doesn't use tools, that doesn't use fire, that lives in a hole in the ground or in a cave, that eats raw meat, that lives in the wilderness, yeah, that pretty much adds it up as far as being an animal to me. I don't know what else would equate to being an animal.
Could it be a prehistoric caveman?
Well, even a caveman, would they use fire? I mean, did Neanderthals?
Eventually, sure.
France, they had fire. Remnants of fire have been found. There's none. These animals, creatures, do not use fire. I've never seen one with a tool.
Not like a makeshift hammer, nothing.
Nothing. Not a stick, nothing.
We go now to Caroline in the city of New York. Lots of New Yorkers checking in. Hi, Caroline.
Yeah, hi. This show is really a surprise. I'm going to try to be as polite as I can, but you two are some of the most disgusting, ignorant people I have heard in a long time. I don't know what right you think you have to pick up your shotgun and go hunting these intelligent creatures down. They are a lot more intelligent than you two are. And if you start shooting at them, that is going to give them reason to start attacking humans. I had a wonderful encounter with them. I grew up in northeastern Ohio, north of Akron, and one evening we were sitting outside in the Cuyahoga National Park, or what is now the park, and we were just playing guitar, and then we noticed a little, maybe like 40, 50 feet off, there were two, you know, creatures, and they were just sitting there listening to us, and they just didn't bother us. You know, we didn't bother them. So what if they take a few chickens? Doesn't mean you should go kill them.
Well, Jim and Bobby, you're going to get a lot of this.
We've had a lot of this before, George. And, you know, it gets back down to choice, and that's your opinion. I mean, if she saw what she saw, God bless her, or does she just have an imagination? And I hate to be cruel, but it's true. I've listened to this over and over and over about, oh, it's such a docile, Harry the Henderson-type creature. And you just don't know. I mean, let's come down here, and I'll let you talk to this lady that are being terrorized nightly. And then you'll say, well, no, it's a completely different type of situation. The scenario calls for eradication of this beast. I mean, and I can't tell you any other way of doing it.
I'm
going out and doing what we're doing as far as hunting and shooting.
I know some horse breeders who have hunted coyotes because they've attacked their little yearlings, their little weanling horses.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, on the face of it, people would think, oh, my God, you know, they're shooting a coyote to death. But the coyote's literally mauling the little horse.
That's right.
And so they have
to. It's a different scenario, George. When somebody is taking something that you raised, that you make a living from, it's a completely different deal than what it is and what people sit in their apartment in New York or wherever they are and has never had any type of a situation where something was coming in, and it's a beast. I mean, look up monster in the dictionary, and that's Bigfoot. And he's coming to your home, and he's killing your dogs, he's killing your farm animals, he's terrorizing you. What else do you do? You can't go any further than home. That's your last stand.
We go to Julio now, driving somewhere in California. Julio, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, you've got different witnesses that come from different parts of the country, and they come up with different sketches, different pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, can they be different species? You know, just as much as a orangutan and a silverback are apes. You know, can they be different?
Well, I think, Jim, you agree that they are different in some areas.
I do agree. I think he's right. You know, you have the gorilla, the bonobo, the chimpanzee, and the orangutan, and they're all different. They're similar, but they're different.
The Yeti is white, isn't it? With almost like a pinkish face?
I think that's what they claim. Mm-hmm.
We go next to Mick in North Dakota. Hello, Mick. Welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Mick. Thank you.
I actually disagree with a little bit what the other guy was saying. A monster could eat your children, all that. We have mountain lions here. Great. But there's been sightings. Actually, I'm Native American. There's been sightings of him. People in desolate areas, no towns, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing eight feet figures walking across the highway. And you know what? That's a thing that kind of ponders my mind, because it's like there's no lights, nothing. And at that time, it was like a.
And you see one of these things rumbling across the road.
Yeah, and it's like a 15-foot blizzard. And these things are kind of showing up.
How often are they seen, Jim and Bobby, running across the road?
Oh, all the time. I mean, that's a regular occurrence. It happens all the time.
It's got to be a sight. I mean, there you are. You're driving, it's nighttime, and all of a sudden this huge creature just comes out of nowhere. And you're blinking, right? Like, what did I just see? Off they go.
It's a life-changing experience for a lot of people that's never believed. And this thing, you know, goes across the road in front of them, and they're like, first thing they're trying to rationalize is what they just see. I mean, did they see a bear or anything that they could possibly think of? And they get through all the rationalization. They're like, you know, I wonder if that was a Bigfoot, you know. Then they usually go online and start seeking information and pictures and whatnot. So I mean, it's a life-changing experience for somebody who's never seen one before when this does happen.
Let me ask you a question. A guy dresses up in a Bigfoot costume. You don't know it. He's out there in the woods, and he gets shot to death for whatever reason. Can you guys actually be charged?
Oh, well, I don't know. The thing about it is you have to understand our hunters and the situation that we're in. There's nobody going to be in the woods walking around where we are at dark without a light, because you can't do it.
It's too dark.
There's no way that you could traverse any of the territory in the thickets that we're in. You have to have a light at night, period. But even in the daytime, no, we're not easily fooled at all, George. We know what we're doing. We know what we're after. And another thing, too, a species is going to have to be brought in. We're going to have to bring in one for discovery. And especially these nuisance animals like that, they need to be brought in. And I'm telling you, it's going to be the three-toed that's doing this because it's bottleneck inbreeding. And so they're inbred, and they're just, as the old saying is, their cornbread's not quite done. And it makes them aggressive.
Huh. So they seem to be the most ferocious of the sect.
That's right. That's right. The one that threw the man down here into the tree was a three-toed creature.
Interesting. Three. How many fingers?
Three. Three and a thumb.
Three and three. That's weird. Now, you know, we get extraterrestrial reports that they have just three fingers.
Yes, I know.
That's weird. Let's go to Emily in Texas, east of the Rockies. Emily, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, fellas.
I am.
I just thought I'd share a few little stories with you. I have a Bigfoot down here. I've seen him, and he has a son, I presume, and I saw one cross the road. I'm down in the near the thicket down in East Texas, the Nacogdoches, Russ County area. And I've put up with this one. I've been here 7 years, and it's aggravating. He eats my cat, or he takes my cat. They never come back.
They never bring it back, no.
No, and there's just a lot of scary things knowing every night that, you know, there's something out there. He used to hit the house and just make a lot of trouble. And there's times he screams so loud. And the one I hear here sounds like the recording you played earlier, George.
Yeah. Okay.
And I hear all kinds, but sometimes it's like he doesn't care. He wants us to hear him. He makes so much noise. But and he does pull dogs apart. Like he'll just pull them apart. But I can't move right now, and I have to just put up with him. I wouldn't shoot him unless he was trying to take me away.
Yeah, if he was coming at you, you'd have no choice.
Yeah.
Well, what I want to know is, what is the next step? Is there a possibility that it could come and harm you or some of your family?
And it could. You're absolutely right.
It very well could, and it's big enough and capable enough to do that. And when you're put in a situation like this, anything is possible with one of these creatures, I can tell you.
Well, it sure is. Anyways, Jim and Bob, thanks for being on the program. Their program, Killing Bigfoot, it airs Destination America. You can find that on October 24th here in the United States, and OLN in Canada on October 29th.